Well, hello everyone. How's everyone doing tonight? That is good. Hey, team, thank you so much. Abby, thank you for leading us. Can we give the worship team a... Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, guys. You can go and sit in the aircon. Now, I will say, before I get started, our aircon is turned to 100. It is currently maxed out, so yeah, it's hot. Deal with it. Deal with it. It's going to get hot. It's only going to get hotter because we're going to get excited. So, my name is Bailey. Hello. I have the privilege of looking after our worshiping creative team here at Seeds. And I am super excited to be able to share with you tonight. Is anyone excited for baptisms? So good. That's so good. You know, this is like more than what we get on a Sunday, like the amount of people here. So welcome. It's so good to see you. And it only means it's going to be hotter in here. If you've never been to a Seeds baptism before, prepare yourself because it's going to be amazing and it might just blow your mind. If you've never been to church before or if you've never seen baptism before, be prepared because it will blow your mind for sure. It's great. A little bit about me. I love this place. I pretty much live and breathe Seeds. I work here. I worship here. I play music here, all that kind of stuff. And I've been coming here since I was like a fetus, pretty much. Like, I've been here my entire life. I started coming, that means like a baby, but not quite yet. If you need some clarity. I started coming to X, I'm just going to move straight along from that. I started coming to XS when I was 12, and I'm now 22, and I've never left. I almost left, but then I just couldn't get enough of it. So I'm really excited for tonight. Thank you to Matt and to Joe and to Pete for giving me this opportunity. I'm really excited to share this message with you. We do have baptisms. We will get to them at some point. Well, it's after me. So don't worry. That is happening. But I've got a message for you tonight. And as you can see, it's called Called Out. Everyone say Called Out. Called Out. Does anyone like being called out? Not really. I used to always get called out, especially at school. People would be like, Oi, Ranga! Oi, Ranga, redhead pride, am I right? Hey, for all you redheads out there, I feel for you. I appreciate you. We always get called out. Maybe if you recently have been going to the Fringe, you walk through the garden and you can't walk past like a salesperson without getting yelled at. Like, come to our show, please! You and your friends, and they'll like point something out about you, and you're like, you should buy tickets to our show. And then it just makes you feel really uncomfortable and not want to buy tickets to their show. Does it make any sense? You feel me? Yeah, great. That's awesome. Or maybe for you, you've been waiting for an opportunity to be called out. I remember, I'm going to take you back to when I was in year 10. I used to play basketball. I don't anymore because I put on a bit of weight. I like to watch basketball. We thank the Lord for hamburgers and fries, and so I'm not playing basketball anymore. I should, because I'm so sweaty right now already. Maybe that'll help. But anyway, so back in year 10, because I was tall, right, I was probably about this height in year 10, and so because I was tall, they would put me on the top teams. So our school had an A team, B team, and a C team. So in year 10, I got put on the A team with the year 12s just because I was tall. And then what I would do is I would sit at the end of the bench for the entire game. And all the rest of the players would be over there and I would just be waiting. I'd sit here and be, hey coach, put me in the game. Coach, I'm ready. But the time never really came until this one game. My chance. My moment. We were getting smashed. We were getting destroyed. We were playing at a school called Nazareth College. And I remember sitting at the end of the bench and I heard it from the other side of the room. It felt like my coach be like, Oi, Langy, you're in next sub. My heart started pounding. I was like, this is it. This is my time. I am so ready. I'm going to come out here. I'm going to prove my worth. I'm going to show these guys what they've been missing. I'm going to make them not want me warming up the bench anymore. and I came out onto the court. I got put in the center for defense, and on the very first play, I got dunked on. Full on, like this guy came off a screen, came straight down the middle, and being a, you know, tall person, I'd put my hands up, and then I had feet in my face. And it sucked. And so then we go to the next play, and I'm shook. I have no idea what just happened. We played some sort of offense, turnover, come back. Next play on defense, let's shoot a three, miss the shot. I go up for the rebound. Straight behind me comes the same person over the top of my head and dunks on me again. I had never seen a dunk in real life, let alone have a front row seat to one. So my opportunity that I thought I had didn't exactly go to plan. So we're talking about called out tonight. And I don't know if you've ever noticed another sport analogy, which doesn't really make sense for someone of this figure, but I'm saying it's not very athletic. You guys will catch on to me anyway. Every professional athlete has a coach, right? All professional sports teams, they have coaches, all that kind of stuff. But you're watching an individual sport. Say you're watching tennis. You're watching the one and only Roger Federer, the greatest tennis player of all time. Can I get an amen? Amen. Roger Federer is amazing. But the thing about Roger is he has a coach. Why the heck would someone like Roger Federer need a coach? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Because what that coach does is actually call out the greatness that is in them. Ooh. Whoa. Roll credits. He used the title name. So we're going to be looking tonight at a passage in Matthew. Perhaps you've heard this one before. It's called Jesus Walks on Water. Baptism night. Walks on water. Crazy. So we're going to read from Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. I'm going to read it for you. It's going to be up on the screen as well. But it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Walking on the lake. Crazy. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. So the disciples called out Jesus. They're like, oh my goodness, this is a ghost. This is the end for us. There is a ghost walking towards us. And before we go on with that point, one thing that I find really cool about that is how before the disciples even knew that Jesus was coming, he was actually searching for them, right? So before we were even searching for God, before we were even searching for Jesus, he was actually searching for us. I really like that. Then the first thing Jesus says, in verse 27, it says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. See, most people are afraid of what God is going to say to them because what they do is they think that God is going to speak like the people of the world do, right? And the people of the world, what we do is we look for things that are wrong with people. We look for things that we can point out. The language of the world has become judging and condemning. So we assume that God judges and condemns us. We're certain that God is going to call us out for everything that makes us unworthy. You know, our culture looks to find things about people they can call out. They're constantly looking for like old tweets or Instagram posts and trying to find their worst moments. And what that does is it creates this energy, this negative energy, where it becomes this normal thing to start pointing out people who have messed up or have stuffed up. See, I remember back when I was a youth, a 15-year-old little redhead boy, I would invite my friends to youth, but they would be scared because they were afraid that the people at church or God was going to call them out for what was wrong with them, because that's what happens everywhere else. And some people are so hesitant to come to church because they think that that's what's going to happen. They think that they're going to get called out for what's wrong, and who wants it called out when you already know it about yourself? But if you're here tonight, and you think the first thing that God's going to say to you is what's wrong with you, then maybe you don't quite know the same God. Maybe it's not quite the same. So Jesus, he calls Peter out of the boat. It doesn't take much, but Jesus calls something out of Peter that was greater than he could have done in the first place. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Walked on the water and came to. I love how casually the Bible writes that. Thanks, Bible. Just walked on the water towards Jesus. Just like it's a normal thing to do. Like if someone came up here and just like walked across this baptism pool, whatever you want to call it. It's not really a pool, is it? A wooden box. If someone came up to here and walked across it onto the stage, I would lose my mind. I would go insane. I'm sure you would too. But the Bible's just like, oh yeah, he just walked on the water towards Jesus. It's just a super casual thing. Jesus calls Peter into something that is far greater than he could comprehend, something far greater than himself. See, what if we as a community, as people, we started to call out greatness in other people, in each other? What if the people from Seeds became known as people who encouraged each other, who called greatness out of each other? It would actually terrify people. You would be like, hey, you, I saw what you did the other day. I saw what you did. I saw you buy that person's lunch. You'd be terrified. You'd be like, what the heck is going on? Why is this person telling me good things? You'd be like, hey, you, I saw what you did back there. You bought that person's Maccas. That's awesome. You'd be like, hey, you have a really nice face. Hey, you, I saw how well you did on that test. Thanks for sharing the answers with me. I did that once. I got in so much trouble. It would terrify them. What if we became like Jesus and started calling out the good in people? Because we need to set this new culture where we need to call each other out for what is good. So tonight, I'm going to call you out. I'm not going to let you live a normal life, a life of mediocrity and just same old. I'm not going to let you settle for this, and neither is God. He's going to call greatness out of you. So catch people doing good. Call out their talents, call out their passion, call out the wonder in them, call out when they encourage you, because when you actually call it out of someone, it begins to become who they actually are. Got it? Cool. So Jesus calls greatness out of Peter, and he is able to walk on water. But you see, the funny thing about this story is that it wasn't actually the people around Peter that called it out of him. There were plenty of other people still in that boat that didn't get out. So I want you to know tonight that if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling like there is no one around you to call greatness out of you, Jesus will. Jesus is there and he will call it out of you. I spent so much of my life wanting recognition for the cool stuff that I thought I was doing, or I wanted to be so cool and relevant, and like I'm wearing a t-shirt that's tucked in. What does that even mean? I don't know, but I'm sweaty, so I wore a big t-shirt so you wouldn't see sweat everywhere. See, I wanted to be cool, I wanted to be relevant, but that didn't actually bring me anything positive. But you see, then I had an encounter with the creator of the universe, the author of love, and what he did was call greatness out of me that I didn't know existed. I didn't know it was there before. I was so focused on how I looked, what I did. But God was like, hey, you're going the wrong way. And he was able to let me see what was in front of me. He told me that my life mattered. He told me that my life was significant and that I had purpose and intention. And he wasn't going to allow me to settle for anything less than what he had called me to be. And he's doing the same for you. He wants you to find greatness. So, back to the passage. Everyone good? Is everyone really hot? I'm so hot. I'm so sweaty. We're all sweaty together. That's great. Sweaty for Jesus. Come on. So, I'm so sweaty. So then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. So casual. Thank you, Bible. But I love this next bit. it actually shows us that someone who walked on water, Peter, was human as well. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." I'm just going to back up for 2 seconds. The Bible says Peter saw the wind. Has anyone seen wind before? I've never seen wind. You can't see wind, right? You can't see wind, but you can see what it's doing, right? And so I think that the Bible isn't just using some, you know, weird language that, like, back in the day they could actually see wind. But I think that the Bible is really intentional here, because sometimes it feels like our problems are insignificant. It feels like the stuff that we're going through feels invisible, or it doesn't feel like it's worth worrying about. But when we see the wind and we are afraid, Jesus is there. And immediately he reached out his hand and caught him. I love that. As soon as Peter cried out, Jesus was there to help him. As soon as he believed that he was less than what he thought he was called to be, Jesus was there. Immediately, he reached out his hand and caught him. This passage has, to me, has always been one of those classic Sundays. What was that? There is a dragonfly on the lectern. Is that real? It's real. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. All right. This is what I want us to do, all right? Everyone together is going to say, "There is a dragonfly. I recognize that there is a dragonfly. And I am no longer going to be distracted by it." Can I use that towel? No, yeah. Is that all right? I feel like TD Jake's up here. Thank you. That's Pete's getting dry towel. All right, we're going to come back, all right? Oh, my gosh. Let's not pay attention to the dragonfly. Maybe. We'll try. All right, bring it in. No more dragonfly business. So this passage to me has always been one of those classic Sunday school stories that you might have heard in church, or maybe you saw Bruce Almighty and you saw, like, Morgan Freeman walking on water. So it kind of becomes normal. This is one of those common stories about Jesus, but when you hear it, it's kind of like, oh yeah, cool. Jesus walked on water. That's pretty cool. But I think the greatest part of this story is not only how Jesus calls us into something greater, but he is also right there to pick us up when we fail. Yes, we can be called into greatness, but this doesn't mean it's going to be easy. This doesn't mean that every step of the way is going to be easy. And we see that in this story. But the reality is that if God is calling us into something greater than ourselves, he's going to be there every step of the way. He's going to be there with us to encourage us, to support us, to pick us up when we fall. The scripture goes on and Jesus says, "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" I love that. And Jesus is just standing on the water and he reaches down into the water and he picks up Peter. It's very cool. Band, you guys can come up now. That'd be awesome. That'd be really, really cool. So we're going to finish up. And we're about to get into baptisms, which is very exciting. And maybe we can baptize the dragonfly unwillingly. But I'm not finished yet. Got a couple more things for you. How exciting. So tonight, if you're here, and you're wondering, why would God choose me? Why would God want to work through me? Plain old, boring old me. But the reality is, when we look at this story, Peter in the story was just a plain old, boring old person. There wasn't anything special about him. He was a fisherman. And back in those days, a fisherman was probably the most normal you could get. There literally was nothing special about him. So if God can call out Peter, if Jesus can call out Peter, if Jesus can call me out into something greater than myself, then don't you think for one minute that he can't do that for you? There is greatness in each and every one of you, even if you're a visitor, even if you're just here for baptism. or if you come every week, God has something so special planned for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You see, a few chapters later, after we read about Jesus walking on water, we read about him dying on a cross. But he died on a cross so that we could have a life greater than we could ever dream of, an eternal life. The story goes on, and Jesus dies a gruesome death on the cross. But then 3 days later, to spoil Easter for you, he comes back. He comes back to life. And if you're here and you think you're struggling or anything like that, if God can raise a dead person back to life, then don't think for one second that God can't manage you while you're alive. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? God can actually do anything. The same, it says in the Bible, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead actually lives inside of you. God is greater than your situation. God is greater than your pain or your struggle, and he can call you out of that into something that's greater. This is actually what baptism is about. Baptism is about recognizing, hey, I'm broken. I'm not enough without Jesus. And I recognize that Jesus is calling me into something greater, and that's why we have baptisms. We are super excited to have two people getting baptized tonight, and we're going to party in just a second, but all it takes is for us to just say yes. It's just recognize, God, I actually want this for myself. I want to be something greater than just me. So if you're here tonight and maybe you're struggling with something or you're feeling like you're just moving through life, then I want to encourage you tonight. Lean into God's presence. Lean into the gift that he is, because he's going to switch your life around. He's going to switch your life around from something normal and painful into something far greater than you could ever imagine. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for your presence in this place. We thank you that you have already gone before us. You have called us into something that is far greater than we could ever, ever imagine. And God, we pray as we go out into this week and into the rest of our lives that you would be with us. You would call us into something that we have never even imagined we could have done. We never could have imagined to do without you. God, we welcome you in this place. And as we respond in worship, we pray that you would penetrate our hearts and you would renew our minds, and we would just be able to find freshness in you. A new hope, a new love in you. Amen.